I'm an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. And now, Arlene will read the preamble.
Hi, my name is Arlene. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
And tonight, our best speaker, I'd like you to help me welcome Liz.
Oh, my God. Woo! You light up my life. You've given me hope when I didn't know there was any hope for me. I want to thank each one of you. You got another Liz. Isn't that something? Two Liz's in the night. You're saying something. My name is Liz Bailey. My anonymity's been shot to hell for a long time. I'm one of those that are convinced that I'm an alcoholic. I am really convinced that. Hi, everyone. You know what an honor and privilege it is, through the grace of God, that I'm asked back into this room again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, there's so many of you in here that I really, really love. And I don't want to really start calling any names because the name calling would take up my whole meeting. And you know, I look at this time, lady, and I talk about the time people in this group, Atlantic group. I said, the best part I like when they say goodbye. I can run my mouth all I want and the sign comes up, goodbye, and I have to get off here, which is good. And I tell you why it's good, because I love AA so that I get on a roll here, baby, and I'm rolling. You know that they say, row on, and I do. And I love it. If I live to July the 11th of this year, I will celebrate 52 years. I came in here at the age of 31. So 31 and 52 makes me a swinging 83. And I always tell myself, age is none of my business. I don't get involved with them numbers. No way. I want to thank Mark for bringing me over from Queens. Where's Mark? I don't know. But I'd like to thank him personally. Oh, he's back up in the corner somewhere? I hope not. But, you know, I'll tell you, when you get into cars with the members, you have a meeting coming to the meeting. And these speakers that were here before me tonight, woo! I could hardly sit there. You guys, you get me on fire. I'm almost saying, amen, let's have a revival here. I'm telling you, they're good. And I see my baby back there, too. I'm so happy he came out tonight. And you know just who I'm talking about. Raise your hand. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So I could wave back at you. I drank for 19 years before I came to AA. And back there in those days, oh God, I'm aging myself, right? I did never hear about AA or alcoholism. Two things I knew when I came to AA is, what are we chipping in for and what are we drinking tonight or today, whatever. That's all I knew. I had never heard alcoholism. I had never heard dysfunctional. I never heard none of this stuff. I come in here a very sick girl at 31. I was really 13. And I knew nothing. The streets had robbed me of so much. And you know, my father was a pitiful drunk. I used to grieve about his drinking. I used to see the policemen beat him with the billies, and the neighbors would hit him with frying pans, and the blood would just spatter. And he used to come out of Mother Cabrina Hospital up here, 163rd between Amsterdam and Edgecombe. That's where I was raised, right uptown. And I'd watch him come out of that hospital wrapped like a mummy many, many times. When you hear me say I'm a grateful alcoholic, don't laugh about that. Oh, she's stupid to be grateful she's an alcoholic. I'm going to tell you, my father hung himself while I was in AA. And I'm ever grateful till today that I was in AA. Because I believe firmly that if I had been drinking, I'd have tried to drink myself to death about my dad hanging himself out in Central Islip. Again, I've never seen my mother take a drink in my entire life. And for many years in AA, I was wishing I could give her two drinks and bring her to hell in here. Because she could have used the whole 12 steps and the whole 12 traditions. Believe me, she could have. My mom died 3 days short of being 95, so you know she had a good life. My mom made my first drink at the age of 12. She made rice wine from the ingredients that she received from the welfare, rice, raisins, in a large crockery. She left myself and a little girl named Marion to sieve this rice wine through cheese pork. And to show you that everybody's not alcoholic, she sieved and sipped two drinks, and she went home. Not me. I stood there and I sieved and I sipped. Ooh, I just sieved and I sipped. I'm only 12 years old, and I'm sieving and sipping. And I put on a drunk at 12 that my mother lectured to me all night long. I had the nerve to go out in the street the next day and shake my little self and tell my friends, whoo, what a ball I had. I don't even remember what the hell happened. I'm sorry. But that began to be the pattern of my life. If you didn't drink and get drunk and pass out, you didn't say too much. And don't take a drink like this and sip it 20 minutes on me, because you got on my last nerve. And I couldn't be around you. I had to get away from you. You didn't get away from me. I got away from you. Because you were not drinking like I was drinking. And I watched myself go down. I started to sell King Kong booze at the age of 14. The man made it in the bathtub next door on the first floor. I bought it by the gallon, and I was selling it for 40 cents a cream pitcher. I'm only 14 years old doing this. Now, someone suggested that I take mayonnaise, olive oil, butter, cream before I start to drink this King Kong. Because then they said I could make more money and I could drink more. But let me tell you, that King Kong went all through the olive oil, the butter, the cream. It went through everything. I stopped taking that sick stuff. But I sold plenty of booze. I made good money. And, of course, I had to be padlocked into a side room in the apartment for my protection. Now, I'm laying out the window one night and I see this cutest guy. Oh, God, he was so cute, I almost fell out the window. He was so cute. And he had a roll of money, and I said, woo, there's a live one. I was always looking for a live one. You know, I still look for live ones in AA. I don't look for deadheads in AA. I really don't. I deal with those that are going and doing and giving. That's who I hang out with. Don't give me a deadhead. My doctor asked me 3 months ago, Miss Bailey, do you go to senior citizens? Oh, no. She said, why you do that? I can't take the moaning and the groaning. I can't. I hang out with them young white dudes in AA. I'm noticed for that, honey. And every night when one of them drive up to pick me up, my neighbors go crazy. From a drunk to this, what is she putting down? Well, see, years ago, I didn't know what I was putting down, but for many years now today, I know what I'm putting down. See, a girl asked me the other night when I said, Lord, I'm so happy to wake up and see my ceiling. She said, what do you mean by that? I said, because I was not always looking up at my ceiling. No. I was waking up places where I didn't know, and abandoned buildings. Mr. Bailey bought me the nicest house out there in Jamaica. And where am I sleeping? On Liberty Park Bench. Now, there's something wrong with that picture, isn't it? I shouldn't be on no park bench. I got three beautiful children and a nice home. House, rather. I never called it a home. Yet and still, I had every material thing any woman would ever want. And so here again, I'm still drinking, and I'm watching me go down. I'm always on my knees. I got to tell you about my marriage, though, first. Because, see, I married that little guy who had that roll of money. And he cried through the whole wedding ceremony, and so did I. He never stopped crying till he went home with the Lord, August the 12th, 1986. We were married 47 years when he left here. You know, I had to get sober. I had to get sober to see the damage I had done to him and my family. As long as I drank, I didn't see it, couldn't see it. And thank God I was able to make amends to him before he left here. He left, and thank God I went back and took care of him in his last days. But up until then, I could not see. I had a slogan that was a slogan, to each his own. I'm drinking this stuff, and you don't want it for nothing. You know, I go off. And I'd tell him, too, when I'm drunk, shut up. And when I'm coming off a drunk, shut up. The man couldn't win either way. You know? Couldn't win either way. And I meant just what I said. And he did it. So I know I kept watching me go down. Girls, I never suggest that you fry a frozen chicken drunk. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. Knock the grease over. Are you putting up a sign yet? Okay. And here again, I knocked the grease over and burned up both of my legs, third degree burns. Came into AA and the legs healed. Any sickness you've got out there, I'm going to suggest this. Come into an AA room. There's power in this church tonight. Everybody asks me, do you go to church? Yeah, I'm in a church every day. Somebody's church I'm in every day to a meeting. See? And here again, I watch myself go down. And I remember one morning waking up with my head coming off my body. Everybody has had that. I took Alka-Seltzer, Anacin, BC. I put a raw egg in the beer, and I used to call that a meal. Putting the raw egg in the beer. I was trying to get my head together. And I grabbed the Bible off my night table, and Mr. Bailey passed my room. Put that Bible down, you hypocrite. Put it down. 20 minutes to an hour, you'll be so drunk, you'll be slapping one of the kids down. Nobody got in my way of getting a drink, and nobody gets in my way of staying sober. The same difference. I'll walk over you, around you, and about you, and curse you out if necessary. See? But you don't get in the way of me staying sober. And here again, I'm watching me go down, and I don't know what to do about it, and I was always sorry. Please forgive me. I suffered with guilt and remorse so bad. I can't tell you how bad. Because here I'd come up, I've done it again, and I don't want to do it again. I don't want it. And you guys have helped me to stay sober, those that have gone out. Not one in my 52 years have came back in here and told me it's so great out there. I believe you. I believe you. I go to many, many meetings. I'm a meeting maker. Always have been. My sponsor started me out in 1952, making 7 meetings a week and 3 times on Sunday. I'm also the alcoholic that will go to any lengths. Any lengths. Some of you don't want to go 2 blocks. You fuss about going 2 lousy blocks. And here I'm crying up in the air for 42 years now. I've been in the air. Go to all lengths to stay sober. Because as I said to the girls in the coffee room, in the giving it, I keep. In the giving it, I receive. And you just can't take this gift and sit home with it or in a meeting. You've got to give it away somewhere. I love this group. Every one of you participate in this group. That's the way groups should be. Every one of you got a little job to do. You freely get it. Why can't you freely give it back? I don't make a dime, but what I got, baby, you can't pay for it. Woo! Woo! Why you can't pay for it? No. 83 and my motor's still running. In fact, my sponsor sent me a card 2 days ago. And I said, I think I got the card Saturday. She said, Liz, I'm so happy your motor's still running. Yeah, because I had a sponsor for 28 years. I get a kick out of you people. You get a sponsor and tell me, oh, I just fired my sponsor. Who the hell did you hire in the first place? I want to know that. You know, come on here. We're supposed to love and care and share with one another. That's the AA I know. And when I came in here, we did things together. Like these dances you're having. Woo! You're coming here to drop dead. Come in here and do your thing. Come in and do your thing. I just got to the point now that I'm seat dancing, and I hate it. Because I used to be up on the floor all the time. All the time. I've enjoyed my sobriety. I don't think I could have stayed sober this long if I hadn't enjoyed it. You know, I really enjoyed it. And then I got to get back to something because I want the newcomer to hear this. You do not get sober for anybody but for yourself. If I had to stay sober for my mother, I'd have been drunk, drunk, drunk. My mother did not like me telling you I was an alcoholic, and she used to say, you weren't that bad, and that used to kill me, because my mama did not know how bad I was. No, she didn't. Mr. Bailey couldn't stand me sober. I'm telling you, he worked overtime for 10 years to get me back out in the streets of this New York. I came from the streets, not from a bedroom. And here again, I had the honor and privilege of speaking for our late co-founder, Bill Wilson. I spoke for Bill Wilson's 28th anniversary at the Hotel Commodore to 2,700 people that night. And when I arrived back at the house, Mr. Bailey banged every pot and screamed that he had to get rid of me, that he couldn't stand me in this sobriety another minute. I used the third and the 11th step at 3 o'clock in the morning. And my God of my understanding, thank you, baby, I was waiting for you. I tell you, my God told me I'd have to leave Mr. Bailey if I wanted to stay sober. So I left Mr. Bailey. I stayed away from Mr. Bailey for 27 years. Had four children by him by this time, because I have an AA baby who just made 48, April 3rd. And my oldest son was 12 when I got here. He'll be 64, May 7th. Don't tell me I got children this old, because I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. It's amazing. I lost two. I lost a son who was 28, who got shot and killed in Brooklyn. And I used to tell this son, who was an addict and an alcoholic, the right road may be hard, but you'll be a winner. And it's good to feel a winner if you're on alcohol and drugs or whatever. And the easy road, the price is heavy. And he couldn't get away from his crony friends. And so he lost his life on June 10th. And it's already 30 years, isn't it? Something maybe more. But I don't cry for my dead son. But I got many sons in AA. I got many sons. And here again, my oldest son, the one that was 12, who I told my last drink, I said, Richard, I can't drink like this anymore. I can't live like this. I'm going to go up on the Long Island Railroad. I'm going to jump in front of a train. You know, the big book says he could and would if he sought. Well, that's what I did that night, not knowing anything about a big book. And I cried out to God, so, on my last drunk, because I stayed in the basement for 2 days, praying to die. I wanted out. And I looked over at Richard, and I said, Richard, look at this. You can't depend on me for anything. I'm going to go up on the Long Island Railroad. I'm going to jump in front of a train, and I'm going to end it all. And I have never screamed to God so in all my life. Oh, God, please help me. And something spoke to me as clear as I'm speaking to you. Try this AA that your father has told me about. All we have to do is plant a seed. The higher power does the rest, or your higher power. It's you, whatever you choose. And God answered me and told me that I better try this AA that your father told me about. And I crawled up, and we didn't have no women, Holly, in AA when I came in 1952. And you know, it was so funny, too, because when I got here, they wanted me to speak right away. And there was nothing but men. And I wasn't going to put my linen in front of you, not me. Because my mother had already told me to leave that in the house, put it under the rug, in the closet, you know, anywhere, but don't you dare go out and tell nobody about yourself. And here again, I went along as 6 months in here. And you know what? Two men tricked me into speaking on a Sunday afternoon. I haven't shut up yet. I'm not. But it has kept me sober. Kept me sober. Praise God, it will do that. And every one of you in here that's an alcoholic or addict, you're going to have to tell your story to somebody, sometime, someplace. You cannot keep it in here. It don't work staying in here. You're going to have to talk about it to somebody, even if it's a cab driver. He'll never see you again, so tell him about it. But you're going to talk it out to somebody. Well, I'll tell you the truth. It was so funny, because here again, when I cried out, God answered me to come to AA. I came over into Manhattan here. Intergroup was at 28 in Lexington, one flight up. And I had a hard time getting up the stairs. I'm still looking at you, pretty thing. Okay. And here again, I got in the middle of the landing. And I said, the hell with this AA, let me go get me a drink. And the lady looked down the stairs. I always call this a higher power looking out for me. She says to me, "Are you having trouble?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I was. I was having trouble getting up those stairs. I ran up the stairs to her. She escorted me in front part of the office. I've always hoped to see that lady again. I've never seen her again. But she escorted me in the front part, and she sat down, and she started to tell me about herself. Oh, God, I've never had nobody tell me about their wrongs, you know, and where they got this scar and that scar. And I'm saying, and she's hitting me between the eyes. Believe me, she's hitting me. And I said, "Oh, my goodness." So then what happened? She says to me, "It's the first drink." I said, "Oh, come on, sweetie. I've been drinking for 19 years. She said, "Liz, when you take that first drink, even down to that cough medicine, watch that NyQuil, everybody. Very dangerous, very, very dangerous." She says, "When you take even down to cough medicine, it is only a matter of time that that compulsion sets up into you that you have to go all the way." And every one of us sitting in this room has experienced that. You can't get away from the truth. No, you can't. And I know I've tried to control my drinking many times, but I never won. Never did I ever win. I watched me go down every time. And like I said, I'd come up with the guilt and remorse that I've done it again. And I like what Liz said too tonight. You don't have to drink and drug anymore in your life. You have messed yourself up walking into an AA room. Because you will never drink and drug in peace again. No, you won't. No, you won't. No. No. And just so beautiful about it, you have people that you can go to. We can do together what I could never do alone. I owe my sobriety to Peggy sitting here. Peggy's been with me over 30 years here. So many of you have been with me for years. I haven't done this by myself. No, I don't. And I'm not, even till today, if I'm in trouble, I was in trouble last week, not for a drink. I had a girl who had cancer, and you're seeing her die. And then I'm living with a great-grand and a granddaughter. Now, this girl asked me to speak for her 25th anniversary last week, and I did. Because you know what? No sooner in the morning my granddaughter come, the baby is sick. So I'm torn between the baby and the sick girl. You know where I went, don't you? I went right to that sick AA member, because that granddaughter had better find a babysitter, because I'm not a babysitter. No, I'm not. And I don't babysit my grandchildren. I tell you that right now. I've been telling you that for years. I do not babysit. I'm through with that. See? And she found somebody, and that girl that I went to speak for, you should see how radiant she turned out. Radiant! She was so happy I was there with her. And I was happy, because I don't think I could have lived with myself if I didn't go to her. Because we all live 24 hours at a time. Life is full of yesterdays and no tomorrows. My life is right now. What I'm doing right now is the important thing to me. And please don't complain about going to an hour meeting. It'll save your life and maybe somebody that's sitting next to you or in the room. And the old timers that leave AA, I grieve for them. I actually grieve for them. I don't know if some of you were on the beach a couple of years ago, and this woman said to me, "I'm 30-some years sober, and I don't go to meetings anymore." I dropped to my knees right on that beach. I did, and I begged her to come back. And I couldn't get up, though, you know. They had to help me up. I'm down there on my knees begging this lady, can't get up. But they got me up. But next year, when I celebrated, she said that she had come back. And I'm grateful. And I told her, if you all heard me, all you have to do is come here and sit. Sit! So somebody can see that it works. That it works. Because sometimes you do a lot of talk and they don't pay that no mind, but you believe what you see, right? See? And in here, we come in with honesty. Rigorously honesty. Keeps me sober. Thank God I don't have to lie, cheat, dodge, connive anymore. I worked so hard at doing that out there for 19 solid years. Couldn't remember some of the lies even. Couldn't remember. But I did that before I got here. And I watched me go down. to thine own self be true. You don't have to be true to me. Be true to yourself. And know that Alcoholics Anonymous is the most powerful fellowship in the world. Powerful. I see you all don't whip it. Your arms are too short to box with your God. And you just as well join him and come on in here and live this fantastic life. And another thing I've watched, it gets so good. You all blow it. You blow it. And I ask you, why'd you go back? Well, they come up with, because we do come up with excuses like that, why I went back out. You don't have to go back out. There's no excuse. To me, there's none. I ran out of them before I got here. I really did. And I thank God I was able to come in. I don't tell you keep coming back. I say stay. Stay. Learn to jump these hurdles that we have to jump in life. Oh, good. She's working with me tonight, isn't she? I love her. Yeah. I was telling somebody the other day that roses even have thorns. Think about it. And they're beautiful. But that's life, too. You're going to have thorns in your life. My oldest son still hates my living guts, told me he'll never forgive me or forget me. That's all right by me. Because I found a God in AA. I didn't have one before I got here. The first 5 years, if you mentioned God to me, I'd curse you out. Because life wasn't going my way. I had to learn that life will never go my way. My will is no good, never was any good, never will be any good. The third step tells us, relieve me of bondage of self, that I may do thy will. Find a higher power, like the big book says, and get one now, not next week or next month. Get one as fast as you can get one to help you through a day. Give us this day our daily bread. I heard over here in New York you all want to take the Lord's Prayer out of AA. You won't do it. It won't be done because it's been here for 69 years this year. Night and day that prayer has been said. Powerful prayer. Why you want to change something that's working? If it didn't work, I could see you wanting to change it. But Liz Bailey is the one to tell you it's not going to leave this room. And it's for all those who care to say it. You don't have to say it. You don't believe it, you don't have to say it. And don't put a guilt trip on yourself either for not saying it. Because we do things like that. Don't do that. Just keep coming. Go to the meeting you don't want to go to. Woo, that's the one you get the zinger every time. Oh, yeah, you get the zinger every time. Because I'm going to the meeting I don't want to go to. It's all right. All right. I'm still going to meetings. What are you doing here? What do you think I'm doing here? I'm an alcoholic. And I'm not cured. The progression of alcoholism is still going on inside of me. And my Bible tells me I'll never be cured. That I've got to come here the rest of my 24 hours. And no place better that I could be with you. Real love is in here, baby, not no play love. But those guys and gals is going out here doing 13-step and watch your step. Watch your step. Because the emotions that come with it are heavy. Heavy duty and a lot of pain. You ask Liz, she just finished falling in love and fell out just as fast. Got out of that sick pain just as fast as I fell into it. Can't handle it. Can't handle it. Nope, I can't handle it. Give it up. Let go. Let God. Anybody. Just don't let me have it. Don't let me have it. No. I have 12 grandchildren, and I told you that I see by appointment only. And I have 5 great-grands. And I'm now living with a granddaughter who's 31 because I got to the place, most of you know, I'll tell you this real fast, I've had 9 operations in 41 years. I've been to death's door 9 times, cut to pieces drunk and sober. I've taken my scars and turned them into stars. I don't worry about my being cut up in the past. Again now, I tell you that I went up and had 3 operations in 6 weeks. The doctor says, I'm giving you 6 months to live. I said, no, you're not talking to me like that. Because I have actually trained myself to live for this day only. I don't get into tomorrow or next week or none of that stuff. Or last week, I don't. I stay in the day that I'm in. I'm now 36 years an arrested cancer patient. The doctor's dead. I'm not. He's been dead. I tell you that to not let anybody tell you about you and that higher power that's in you. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is out there in that world. And that's who I've learned to go to every day. Not one day, every day. I start my day off with my higher power. Because he's taught me to seek him first. Seek him first in his kingdom and his righteousness for all things to be added unto me. Boy, I tell you, it gets so good. I have to come on down, Liz, and sit down and be quiet to get myself not out of tune. Because you see, this spiritual part of AA, I've watched you in AA come in here and get holier than thou and end up on a flight deck. Oh, yeah. You can end up on a flight deck. I've seen them walking around with the Bible, you know. I've seen them go to church. I told a girl yesterday, I'm not knocking church. I will never knock church. But I'll tell you, you better make an AA meeting before you go to church. Then you'll understand what that preacher or the minister or whatever is saying. Until then, we don't really understand. Put God and AA first. Go to your church, whatever it is. Don't ever give it up for nobody. Find yourself a personal God. You going not one God up yet? Oh, Jesus, I'm headed out, girls and boys. I'm headed out. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you had a good time, but I've had one grand time in this building this evening, meeting all these nice-looking dudes. You girls keep coming. Even if you just look at them, that's all. You're safe looking at them. Yes, you are, but this is the prettiest group in the world. And Liz Bailey loves it and loves every one of you. And thank you again for having me. I hope. Wait a minute. Goodbye. I'm going to do this in 1 minute because I don't close a meeting that I do without saying this. Everywhere I go, and I do travel, I hope to touch just one person. My kids will say, oh, there she goes to save the world. No, I'm not looking to save no world. I just really, that's my main prayer for many years when he let me speak to you and share with you, that I reach just one of you to stay. Because if you allow that to happen, then I, Liz Bailey, I have not lived in vain. Thank you so much.
Speaker is Liz S. Hi, I'm Liz. I'm an alcoholic. I am so incredibly excited and honored to be up here. This is my home group. It is the best home group I've ever had. I love the Atlanta group. Thank you, Heidi, so much for asking me to speak. And ever since Heidi had asked me to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope with you all, I have just been thinking about the Atlanta group, mostly more about my recovery and since I've walked into these rooms. And I was laughing to myself about the irony of how much I love this home group. I really, really do. Because the first time I walked in here a couple of years ago, I just, you know, people say it all the time when they come up here. I've heard this a million of times. I just was not into this group at all. You all were too perfect, too clean, too happy, too well-dressed. You all knew each other, and I resented every single person in this room for not coming to find me and realizing how much pain I was in. So I walked out of this room vowing never to come back, and it took a couple years and lots of pain and misery before I came in here dripping with willingness. The first meeting I ever went to, I got sober in Boston. I was 21 years old. I was still in college. And, you know, I was speaking with Heidi this morning, and I don't understand how people were able to maintain families and careers and lives when they were drinking. I could barely maintain my cats
And, you know, I had just had enough. I was completely sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, what we've all felt to bring us in here. And I called, kind of a funny story. To go back a little bit, I had a friend who was in recovery and who I hadn't spoke to in a couple years while I was still active, and I had called him up just out of the blue because I have a really hard time letting go of relationships. I like to sink my teeth into people, especially when they want to leave. So I called this friend out of the blue because I was looking for anyone to tell me what was wrong with me. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, and maybe he might know. And I called him, and he said, you know, today is my one-year anniversary. I've been clean and sober for a year. And I was like, what? And that was in December. And in January, I woke up on the floor of my apartment for the very last time with a bottle of wine, my phone, and my phone book. And, oh, I couldn't believe I'd done that again. I was the chronic midnight caller. So if anyone's in here that I've called, I'm sorry. I was always calling at inappropriate hours. And that was on a Tuesday. I called Intergroup I woke up crying the whole bit, you know. I didn't think alcohol was my problem. I never thought alcohol was my problem. Alcohol, and I've learned in these rooms, was actually my solution, and it was for a very long time. I had a deep, deep, sick spiritual hole right in my gut, all the way through to my feet, shot out through my hands and into my brain. I was empty from the inside, and all I had was this outside that I didn't know what to do with. I was like a child in adult clothing, and I just didn't fit. And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was that seed, maybe it was that willingness, maybe it was the sunshine, maybe it was that hangover, whatever it was, I just couldn't do it anymore. I was so spiritually and physically and mentally, I was done. And I picked up the phone and I called information and I asked for the number of Al-Anon because I thought it was the same thing. And if you're new, it's not. Al-Anon is not Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a different program. But I called and asked for the number of Al-Anon, and I don't know if it was the slurring or the crying, but they connected me to AA. Thank God. And the man who answered the phone, and I swear, up until recently, I thought he was yelling at me. I thought this nice man who worked at Intergroup in Boston was yelling at me. And I thought he kept saying over and over, are you too young to die? Are you too young to die? And I was like, no, you don't get it. You don't understand. And I've come to realize, no, I'm not too young to die. And he sent me my meeting list. I received it in the mail on Wednesday. I went to my first meeting on a Thursday, and I haven't had a drink since. And if you're new, welcome. You are in the right place. You do not ever, ever have to pick up again. If you follow the plan as it's outlined in the book, if you get a sponsor and a home group, if you just follow the suggestions, just do it. I don't know how, and I don't know why, but it does work. And the first meeting I walked into was in a basement of a church, which, thank God, this meeting isn't. It's so beautiful coming in here every week. And the meeting was lovingly nicknamed Axe Murderers, which I really loved because I really thought that that's the way I drank. I wanted to be with men in trench coats because that's the way I felt. I didn't want to be anywhere else because I thought that's where I belonged. Those were my people. Those, you know, I was a whiskey drinking boozer, and all I did was drink, and I just didn't think that I belonged with society. Not saying men in trench coats aren't a society, you know what I mean. So I don't remember anything from that first meeting except for two things. I remember two things clear as day. They were talking about conscious contact, and they could have been speaking in tongues for all I knew. I didn't know what that was. And the second thing that I remember is that a girl by the name of Liz walked in, and she stuck her hand out to me, and she had 3 months clean and sober. And I remember thinking, well, these people around the table, they're obviously lying to me because they have over multiple years or multiple months, and this girl had 3 months. And for whatever reason, every bone in my body said not to go with her to coffee, but my mouth said yes. And that's what I did, and ever since I've been on this amazing ride. I joined the Atlantic Group, I don't know, maybe about a year ago, and I've got a wonderful sponsor, Thea. I do everything she tells me to do, not always happily or willingly, but I do it whenever I follow her suggestions. Everything works out. Everything works out. I trust her completely. I love my sponsor. I follow her around like a puppy dog, and if you don't do that with your sponsor, find someone you can do that with. Find someone who you really have what they what you want, they have what you want. And I didn't understand that until I came into these rooms. And she's taking me through the steps, and it's just been a miraculous, miraculous journey. I am not the woman I was when I walked into these rooms. I was crawling in here. Like I said, I couldn't name what was wrong with me. I couldn't name it. And by listening to people, by following the program, by, you know, just being here, just showing up and doing the work, my life is wonderful. Now, I don't have the perfect house, and I'm not making as much money as I want. I don't have the career that I want, and everything on the outside is not perfect. But everything on the inside is, most days. And some days are hard. And those days that are hard, what I do, what I've learned in these rooms, is not to isolate, not to close myself up in my little shell, which I'm really good at, but to actually get my hand out and to call people, especially newcomers. My favorite thing, 50% of the time when I call someone to talk about myself, 50% of the time I might feel better. 100% of the time when I call someone else to talk about them, I feel better. And that's been a huge, huge lesson. I can't even tell you enough how grateful I am, to AA, how grateful I am to the Atlanta group, and to be absolutely specific to the women in this group. I have followed you. I have learned from you. I have tried my best to emulate the dignity that you have. You have taught me how to walk the walk and talk the talk, and I have a higher power in my life today that is so strong and beautiful. And even if you're new and you don't get that and you don't know what that means, just stick around. You'll find out. Don't quit before the miracle happens, because it is a miracle. We're all miracles, and I can't even say it enough. You do not ever have to drink again. I did not, when I came into these rooms, I have not gone out. You don't have to. That is not part of the program. Just follow the steps. Follow your sponsor. Read the big book. Get a home group. Do the suggestions, and your life will be changed beyond your wildest dreams. Thanks.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Russell Page.
Russell, I'm an alcoholic. Yes, first of all, I would like to thank Vincent for asking me to speak on hurried notice. And let's see, my sobriety date is July 16th of 2000. My home group is the Atlanta Group, and I'm sponsor. I have one. His name is Frank, and I'm doing my best to work 9, 10, 11, and 12. Those are steps I get on. And I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to talk about. I'm very humbled. I'm between two great speakers. And one thing that Liz, you know, came out and said was dripping with willingness. And that, you know, that describes how I came in. I kind of came in with my eyes looking like Frisbees. And, you know, I was beaten, you know, into a state of willingness. And, you know, I came in at that point saying, I'll do anything. And what happened was, you know, a few years before that, I had 5 years sober. Right, I had 5 years sober, and you know, I wasn't working a program, and I went ahead and picked up, basically. And I remember thinking, as I'm going out and I'm drinking my way through life, and you know, I'm wrecking things, and relationships are going down the toilet, and debt's mounting up beyond my wildest dreams, and you know, all that great stuff. And I remember thinking somehow I could go ahead and take care of it, because I remember thinking, yeah, I used to be an Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, I can still take care of it. I can go ahead and show up at a meeting, and I can get a sponsor, and I can take care of it, and somehow I'll be able to get a handle on my life again. And, you know, again, all that stuff I was talking about was slowly sliding downhill, and things were just getting worse and worse, yet I still thought I had some sort of control, right? And what the first step of Alcoholics Anonymous tells me is that I have absolutely no control over drinking, and I'm screwed, okay? Pardon my French. And that's basically it. On the bottom line, and I was, and I couldn't see it, and I'd show up at meetings, I'd go out and get drunk after the meeting, and I'd have absolutely no idea why. How many times did I go ahead and wake up the following morning, my head's, you know, about the size of, and the density of a cement block, and I have to go to work, and it's funny, I go to work, and I control people, usually about 10 people, all day long, and I scream at them, I tell them what to do, and, you know, and I try to make things interesting for them, but when I stand in front of my home group, and I see, like, a lot of people here, all of a sudden, my self-confidence kind of goes out the window. And so, back to my thing, where I'd go to a meeting, And I'd even say, wow, I could really use a sponsor. And the guy would be like, all right, go ahead and call me. And so then I'd call him for a day or two. And then for some weird reason, I'd go out and pick up a drink. And I'd have no idea why. Then my company would send me away on business, and I'd get drunk on the plane after being in a meeting that day, after talking to a supposed sponsor that night, right? If I got 2 days without a drink, it was a miracle, right? And I remember hanging out after not drinking for a day going, yeah, I didn't drink today. Or I'd wake up the next day actually feeling pretty clean and not hungover. That in itself was a miracle. And I remember thinking, I didn't drink yesterday. I have to go out and make up for it. And sure enough, I'd be out till 3 in the morning. And that was my life. Right? That was my life. I had built my life around a bottle of booze, and very little got in the way of it. And I'm the kind of drinker where I drink, right? And if I'm working, I'm thinking about when I can get that drink. Every so often, I drink, not always. Sometimes I showed a little self-control and waited till 5 in the afternoon. During the weekend, I'd really try hard to hold off till 11:30 in the morning, and that was usually within 20 minutes after opening my eyes. And whatever it was, I just built my life around drinking, okay? And, of course, being a good, upstanding member of New York Alcoholics Anonymous, there are usually other things involved. But the thing was the thing that always kicked it off was picking up that drink. Once I picked up that drink, that was it. Totally, all bets are off. All bets are off to the point where you know, I own an 8-year-old, or I report to an 8-year-old, and he's the one who calls the shots in my life today, but I'd blow him off in a second if you stood in the way of getting that drink. And my last night out, you know, it started off as any old day, right? A little bit about, you know, my last day, which was just like any other day. It was a beautiful afternoon. The sky was clear and everything was nice. And I remember thinking, I hadn't seen him in a couple of weeks. I'm like, I'm not going to drink today. I'm not going to drink today. And I remember saying that for 2 weeks. I cannot drink that day. Normal people don't really say they're not going to drink on a certain day. If they don't, you know, if they have things going on, they don't drink, right? It's as simple as that. I have to sit there and say, in 2 weeks' time, I'm not going to go out and pick up a drink. Yet, sure enough, there I'm in traffic. It's Friday afternoon. You know, I'm ignoring the bills, so I had a little bit more money in my pocket because I'm ignoring bills. And I'm sitting in crosstown traffic, and I'm sitting waiting for a light to turn. It's that kind of like Friday afternoon out of summertime where to go one block, you have to wait 3 cycles of the light. And so finally, on like the 3rd or 4th cycle, I look up and I see a flashing neon sign that said, Bass. And, you know, and it's kind of like one of those deep sea fish, right, where they have lights on like their noses or what have you, so they attract prey, and that's exactly what happened. I said, fine. I double parked, went inside, and that was it. Right? That was it until I finally kind of stagger in 3 in the morning. As it turned out, I found out later on that my son had waited up for me till about 11 o'clock at night, and I didn't even bother showing. Not a phone call. I think I made it within about a half mile of the house, but that was it until 3 in the morning. And I kind of came to that day, and I don't know what it was, but I was roadkill, literally. I was roadkill, and, you know, and I'm telling my friend, it's like, yeah, you know, XYZ happened. I went and picked up a drink, blew up my son, all this stuff. And, you know, for me, it was just a regular old night. And someone told me, you need help. And I said, yeah, I guess I do. And at that point, I just did whatever I was told to do. And so this lady said, well, here's this friend of ours, and give him a call. So I give him a call. And actually, that Saturday night, it kind of rained. And, you know, there are these summer shares, right? If you're new to the program, right, your world is going to get huge. I mean, everything that's happened, all the promises they talk about, they'll come true, right? I still owe money, but I don't have financial insecurity. It's one of those weird paradoxes. Why? Because I'm becoming legitimate today. Okay, anyway, when I came in, it was kind of raining out, and there was this guy who was from New York AA, and he was out there, and this is one of my cute jokes, right? What happens is when you call Intergroup, or when you call Alcoholics for Help, they'll come and pick you up and take you to their meeting. Well, this nice guy that I called didn't have a car, and it was raining out, so he asked me if I could go pick him up so we could go to the meeting. In other words, I had to go to the other person's house so I could get 12-step and go to the meeting. And anyway, it was a good thing I did that, because what I wound up doing was I wound up meeting my sponsor, Frank, and he's still my sponsor today, and I just did whatever he told me. So, you know, his presence in my life is literally a blessing from God or my higher power, because he turned me on to the Atlantic Group. My first meeting at the Atlantic Group was 3 days, and I'm standing against a wall like this, and there are all these people, and I didn't know what to expect. And so I started hearing this stuff about steps, and I started hearing this stuff about big books, and I started hearing this stuff, and again, when I came in dripping with willingness, right, you know, the thousand-yard stare, the whole bit. I started doing the stuff. I started kind of showing up. And what happens, what the first step has told me, remember I said I have no power over drinking, right? So I take absolutely no credit for my sobriety. And how I'm, you know, how I don't have a chance, okay, in a very warm place, right? And so I had to come to grips with that. And what I had to do was, you know, accept help. I had to accept help. And, you know, knowing that, left to my own devices, nothing's going to go ahead and change. And what happened was I started taking the suggestions. I started working the steps, right? I started showing up. And after about 3 months, I started feeling so miserable. I didn't think there was a way out. I just thought, you know, life is totally hopeless. Nothing's going to get better. But you know what? Little by little, it did. Right? If you're new, right? If you're counting days, I mean, stick around. I mean, you know, even if you're, what I did when I was feeling really miserable was I went to a meeting and started doing things and started talking to somebody. I held out my hand to somebody and said, hey, how you doing? And that way I'm not thinking about myself for 20 seconds, right? In my personal life, this is a really kooky week, right? There's a lot of weird things going on and it's all kind of jumbled in together and it's a source of great anxiety and, you know, a level of fear for me, and all I can do is show up for it. Right? I can just show up for it. I can ask for prayer. I can ask for help if I really need to. I can go ahead and talk to somebody. But it's nothing that I have to go ahead and drink over, right? Because there are other things I can go ahead and rely on today, right? So if I'm sitting there and if I'm really worked up or if I'm really angry about something, I try and help out somebody else. Or I do my best to. I'm not perfect at it. You know, sometimes I'm still very capable of acting like a baby. But, you know, I have tools to go ahead and show up for life today that I didn't have a couple years ago. And it's really beautiful. So anyway, I'm getting the old hook, and thank you everybody for listening.